Now, what are you doing? What do you got? What do you got?
Yeah, I may need that.
What do you got? Hey, peanut butter cups.
Somebody gave me one of the most wonderful gifts in the world.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Woo, peanut. Wow, that's pretty good.
I can't get into the bag.
Can I get one of those?
What, you think it's a Kit Kat bar? I ain't breaking off a piece of this for you.
Oh! You're not going to share that with me?
No! It's my Reese's cup.
Oh, man. I'll remember this. I'm going to remember this.
Share my Reese's cup. What's wrong with you?
Gee whiz. Huh. Don't pray for bus drivers this week.
Now, Ruth is a bus driver. You can pray for Ruth. She's a bus driver. Don't let me forget that. That's pretty nice. Hey, good morning. We're honored you are joining us this morning, some here in person and many others online. And we're excited that you've set aside some time to be with us this morning as we continue our sermon series on No Matter What, I Will. This morning, our challenge comes from the book of Acts. No matter what, I will share, but not my Reese cups. We're taught at a very young age to share. Share your toys, share your room, share your food, share your clothes, share your Kit Kat bar, but never share your Reese cup. I'm sorry. As we get older, we learn to share our ideas and opinions as well as our concerns. The book of Acts is the record of the early church, and it teaches us what Jesus meant for his church to be and to learn something about who we are supposed to be. It shows us the value of discipleship and how the church has always been and continues to be mission-driven, life-changing. It describes the church as a preaching, teaching, baptizing, growing community of believers who are blood-bought and committed to Jesus no matter what. The church is compared to a bride betrothed to one husband, loved and protected, and for whom Christ laid down his life. She is pictured as a worshiping, praying, spirit-filled fellowship. She's always an inviting and welcoming family who, along with the Holy Spirit, constantly says to the world, whosoever will may come. We find in Acts chapter 4, she was a sharing church as well. And not only sharing the good news about the gospel of a risen Savior, they shared everything. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 32, talks about this life-sharing everything, fellowship of the church. Verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or property or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And from that passage and many others like it, we learn that as Christ followers, there are many things we need to share. And among them are these few. First of all, we need to be sharing God's forgiveness. But along with that means you need to share your forgiveness as well. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and in our place, so that we could be forgiven. And that forgiveness is possible and available to the whole world. God poured out the punishment of our sin on Jesus. He took our place, He took our penalty, He took our judgment. The miracle of the cross is that God provided a sacrifice in His own Son in order to save sinful people like you and me and the world, because people need the Lord. The beauty of the gospel is a divine exchange. You ever been to a gift exchange? Well, there's a divine exchange as well. It takes place between a person and Jesus Christ when God pours out the judgment we deserve on Christ. That's not much of a gift that we're giving Him. But God pours out our judgment on Christ and simultaneously gives us the righteousness of His Son. The Bible describes it as being clothed in His righteousness. Jesus absorbs our wrath, and God applies Christ's righteousness to our spiritual account. The cross makes the divine exchange possible. We need to share God's forgiveness with everyone. But if you want that to come across authentic and to be genuine, and for people to really believe what you're talking about, you need to live it, and that means that we need to share our forgiveness too. God forgives you, but I don't. How much sense does that make? When the Lord was teaching us to pray, this was part of His lesson. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven others. Now, let me ask you a question. If God only forgave you the same way that you have forgiven others, how forgiven do you think you would be? Completely? Totally? Forgive us as we have forgiven others. In writing to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul said, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." When sharing God's forgiveness, don't forget to share your forgiveness just the same as He has forgiven you. When someone does something wrong, don't forget all the things they did right. I'm still amazed in churches all across America how there are so many people who give so much of their life, their time, their investment, their resources, their energies, their testimony to a church for year after year, decade after decade, pouring their heart and soul into their community and representing their church in the community and where they work. And then the church does one thing they don't like, and what do? They're out the door. When someone does something wrong, don't forget all the things they did right. Nobody here is perfect. Now, I'll admit, I come pretty close. But no. Don't forget all the things people do right just because they do something wrong. Anybody here not done something wrong today? I can honestly tell you, and Barbie will testify to this, I have lived one day in my adult life where I did not sin. I honestly have. I was in a near coma. I did not wake up. I don't even know if I was breathing or not. But for over 24 hours, I did not sin. I did not tell a lie. I didn't even tell a joke. Now, if you could get by with that. Well, secondly, we should also share our resources. Our text in Acts chapter 4 said the believers were sharing their resources, and the apostles, the church, was distributing to anyone who had a need. And as a result, the grace of God was powerfully at work in all of them. The testimony of the risen Lord was being shared, and there were no needy persons among them. And notice this. Please notice this. No one was being forced to share their resources. It was not a condition of membership in the church. No one was asked to sign a commitment card. It just says, from time to time, those who were blessed, those who had it, shared with anyone in need. That's why MCC offers so many ministries and gives and partners with many other ministries to meet the needs of our church family and our community. Go down the list. Helping Hands. It Takes a Village. Bread distribution. Mats and backpacks for the homeless. Peanut butter for school children. Living Alternatives. And the list just keeps going. No one is forced. No one is forced to be a part of any of those ministries. But everyone is encouraged to do whatever they can as they can. Luke 3:11 gives us this simple guideline. Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Now, does that mean if you only have one shirt, you should give that away too? No. Anyone who has two should be willing, if necessary, and called upon. And how many times have you said to somebody, they'd give you the shirt off their back? Well, hand in hand with that, we need to share not only our resources, but we need to share our giftedness. And that means our talents. You don't have to be around MCC very long to see many people sharing their giftedness. Home repairs, helping folks move, wheelchair ramps, community gardening, hospitality, security, tons of musical talents, singers and instrumentalists, audio visuals, technologies, computers, streaming, all this and more. And that's just during a pandemic. You ought to see us in full throttle. 1 Peter 4:10 teaches us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. When we needed lights or wanted lights on the living flag, they didn't ask me to do that. I'd have probably burned the place down. I have literally melted a screwdriver working on an electric socket or outlet, a light thing. I assumed, you know what that always does, that if you turn the switch off, the electricity was off. But I did have enough common sense to know to use a screwdriver with a rubber handle. Because if not, that would not have just knocked me across the room. It probably would have killed me. I have learned since then I cannot have enough of those tester things. What do you call those, Frank? The two leads and the boat meters. Yeah. Oh, if there's current going. Actually, anymore, I call Mike Fott and said, Mike, I've got an outlet over here to... I mean, that's their talent. That's not mine. Do not call me to help you wire a 220 outlet for your dryer. I will just put two 110s together for you. It's the best I could do. And I don't think that works, does it? No. Share God's forgiveness and yours. Share your resources. Share your giftedness. And then share your testimony. That's such a scary thing for many people. You know, we talk all the time to so many people about so many things. But talking with others about the impact Jesus has had on our lives, I mean, wow, that's really out of our wheelhouse. I wonder how those disciples must have felt. Now, I wasn't there, in spite of what my children think. I'm not that old. So I'm going to put on my holy imaginator again. I want you to put yours on too. See what you think this morning. But the disciples, you remember, came to a point after having followed Jesus for a while that he sent them out two by two on their own to teach, to preach, to heal. I wonder how they must have felt. You see, up till then, Jesus had been doing all the heavy lifting, most of the hard work. He had been the one doing the teaching and healing and the miracles. He handled the Pharisees and their questions and the traps that they had laid for them. They had been the ones listening and learning. Now it was time to get out of the classroom and put it into practice. I'm sure their hearts and minds were racing as they wondered about things like this. What are the places that we're going to be like? How will the people treat us there? I'm sure more than one of them would have been asking themselves, how on earth are we going to live up to the standards of Jesus? They are to bring nothing for the journey. Nothing. No staff. No sleeping bag. No bread. No money. No change of clothes. They are to rely completely on the hospitality of people they didn't know and they wanted to preach to. But they are equipped, however, with one thing completely beyond value. And that was the power and authority of the name of Jesus. And so are we. You remember the scripture tells us Peter and John said to the beggar, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, pick up your mat and walk." And what did he do? He picked up his mat and walked. That was in the name of Jesus. They didn't reach in their pocket and get that. So, traveling light, they're sent off to preach and to heal. And then I have to wonder who they were paired with. You ever thought about that? Did the brothers, James and John, travel together, or did Jesus kind of split up that obvious pair? Do you think Peter bossed his traveling partner around? Or did they work well together? And then you have to ask, who traveled with Judas? That's a big one. And what was Judas like as a preacher and evangelist? Sharing your testimony is one of those Christian expectations. When you bring it up, it has everybody looking at their feet saying, don't call on me. Don't pick me. It's one of those things like exercise that we know we ought to do, but just never quite get around to doing it. Oh, we get a membership at the gym, we get a membership at the church. Big difference than having a membership and being a member, isn't it? Now, it seems there's always something more urgent, more pressing to deal with. It just never seems to be the right time to bring up the subject of Jesus with our friends or even our family. And we all know that sharing our testimony is important. It's as simple as it is dreaded and feared. But it's also inspiring to others when we do. And it encourages others to share their testimonies as well. In fact, we want to share a testimony with you this morning. We've asked Mike Marquezay, one of our elders, an instrumentalist, teacher, tall guy, to share this testimony. Now, he's not going to come stand on a soapbox and preach for you. I'm the preacher. He's one of the guys here who's going to share just a testimony of how Jesus has been a part of his life.
Besides that, he promised me one of the Reese cups that he's got. So I'm counting on it.
I lied.
Anyway, as many of you know, I'm a recent retiree. And one of the primary things of primary importance when you retire is you want to make sure your health insurance gets lined up. Because as we get older, obviously, there's a potential for catastrophic illnesses or even just tests. Even tests alone can break the bank. So before I retired, I made sure that with the university's benefits manager, an outfit in Canada, we don't even know who they are or whatever, but anyway, they're the ones that run the website and make sure that everything gets all set up. And before I retired, I made sure that, yeah, we were signed up with Health Alliance, had a 20-year relationship with Health Alliance and Carl, made sure that was all set. And off we go. Well, you know, we're cruising along into June and July. I had some heart tests, some cardiac testing done and things like that, and racked up, well, what could potentially be thousands of dollars worth of tests and so on. And come the first week of August, mail comes, and what do I get? I get a couple of Aetna health insurance membership cards in the mail. And I started to think, well, what's going on here? So I went to the website, the benefits website, you know, and it says that we were signed up for Aetna. Well, something happened. We don't know what, but anyway, something happened, and we got switched to Aetna. So I'm frantically calling on the phone trying to figure out, well, how did that happen? You know, are they going to cover the expenses that I had with Carl after July 1st? The answer to that question was no. They didn't cover any of that. There was no out-of-network coverage for that. And I called the benefits manager, and they said, well, we don't know what happened, but it looks like you made that election, but you might have to wait until October when the next enrollment period is in order to switch back. So at this point, I'm beside myself. I don't know what to do. You know, we have limited funds in the bank, and you know, we're running around and trying to figure this out. And finally, at some point, you know, I just stopped and said, you know, look, God, I got to give this up to you. Lord, will you take this over for me? Because I don't know what we're going to do. Really not. And I had, the only thing I had was a customer service ticket number from the benefits manager. I said, well, you know, we don't know what happened, so we'll give you a ticket number, and then you wait 24 to 48 hours, and somebody will call you back, and we'll get back to you. Well, that was on Wednesday, and by Friday, nobody had called. And, you know, had to go through the weekend with this. My wife will testify that I was not very happy camper. But in any event, on Monday morning, the first thing I said, you know, I gotta call these guys. I gotta figure this out. And you know, somehow wade through this mess. And I called, and Paul answered the phone, Dr. Paul. And Paul said, you know, because usually the person that picks up the phone is the one who's worked there the least amount of time, has the least amount of information. We've all been there, right? So Paul picked up the phone, and I explained the situation to him and said, you know, here's my customer service ticket number. I didn't get called back, and, you know, can you help figure this out? And he goes, well, yeah, I see what happened, and, you know, it's odd that you would, you know, you would get me when you called in. He says, because I'm one of only two people in the entire corporation that can make this change. And so he made the change. He directed me back to the website where, you know, we saw, well, Health Alliance now is our benefit provider. And this is, you know, over the weekend, we got a stack of these denial of benefits things racking up thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And, you know, panic sets in. But anyway, so Paul made the change, and he says, oh, by the way, do you have any prescriptions that need to be filled today? Because it usually takes a couple of days in order for this to take effect. I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we've got some prescriptions that were actually denied because we didn't have the insurance necessary to pay for them. So he says, oh, okay, I'll take care of that too, and we'll go ahead and we'll contact Health Alliance and make sure that as of today you're set. So, you know, all I got to say at that point is Jesus had my back. You know, there's no other explanation as to why I would contact Paul and get Paul on Monday morning. He was able to quickly make the change and get that for me. So in any event, that's
praise the Lord.
That's the deal.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And those Reese cups for me.
One of only two people in the entire corporation, and they were in Canada. Now, was that a coincidence or a God moment on a Monday? Answered the phone. That's kind of like multiplied 1,000 times of when I answer the phone here at the office when people call, and people are shocked. They were expecting to get Marcia. And she may have been on the other line or whatever, and I'll answer the phone. I'm sure Jeff gets this a lot too, and they're so surprised that we'd answer the phone. It's like, I'm not that technologically ignorant. I can answer a phone. But you got one of the two. I think somebody was directing his path, don't you? So you don't have to preach. He didn't offer an invitation. But that is encouraging, because I'm suspecting that that has stirred in many of your minds similar or other situations in your life where, you know, God really did step in there for me. And I just want to share with others what he's done for me. I also have to add this. Since we started our online streaming, one of our most faithful viewers every week is in Washington State. And her name's Lori. If you've been watching, you probably saw her say, "Hello from Washington." I'm sad to tell you, she's not going to be watching today. And she's not going to be online if you're looking for that, because Lori is here today. How's that? Welcome, Lori. That is Mike's sister. And I'm pleased to tell you she did not come to see Mike. She came for some of that preaching she's been seeing online. I'll give you a Reese cup after the... Share your testimony. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Pass it on, and it will keep passing on. My story, your story, and they're all the stories of how Jesus has been a part and touched our lives." And I know that is easier said than done, but it soon opens the door for us to share God's love. And that means sharing the gospel. John 3:16 is one of the most loved verses in all of the Bible. But you couple it with verse 17, which you should never read 16 without 17. You couple them together and it makes the most incredible claim. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever you're talking to, that includes you, that if you will believe in him, you won't perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's a message of salvation, not condemnation. Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come upon them with power, and they would tell the world about their risen Savior and how he can be their Savior too. They did tell their world, and they turned their world upside down. I think our world could use a little of that today, don't you? Maybe we should say, turn it right side up again. Please don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that sharing the gospel is only for paid clergy. You don't need a Bible college graduate degree or whatever to share Jesus' life, death, burial, resurrection, and return. You just have to love God and love people. I have been amazed at how many of our elders and other church leaders have been called upon recently, and they have stepped up to that call to officiate weddings and funerals of families and friends. Are you supposed to have the preacher do that? Where's that written? Each one of those is a time to share the gospel with those they love so much. But it's happening not because they're pastors of a church or traveling evangelists or theological geniuses, but because they have seized the opportunities to share God's forgiveness, to share their resources, to share their giftedness and their testimony with those around them. And now when they've come to this point in their life of needing someone who they know cares, they are given the opportunity to share the gospel with them as well. Yes, God has called some to be apostles and some to be evangelists and teachers, but he has also called all of us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he promised to be with us as we did it. I'm amazed at how the waters of baptism are still being stirred even during this pandemic. But I'm equally amazed at how many are baptizing their friends, their family, not because they're pastors of our church, but because they have been the biggest influence in people's lives. Oh, to be sure, Pastor Jeff and I have also baptized many people. There's nothing we'd rather do. There's nothing we cannot reschedule for a baptism. Am I right? I'd rather baptize somebody than eat a dozen Reese cups. Now that speaks volumes. If you want to get better at sharing the most important thing you can share with the people you love the most, and with your friends, your classmates, your co-workers, your neighbors, learn to ask God for these three simple things every day. Now, this is not in your outline. I probably should have put it there, but you can write it on the notes page beside it. Ask God every day to, number one, open a door. Number two, open my mouth. And number three, open their heart. You see, open a door means give me an opportunity today to share my testimony of how you have impacted my life and what a impact you can make on their life. Give me an opportunity. Open a door and then open my mouth. That means help me seize the opportunity and not let it slip by, perhaps to never come again. How often have we said, oh, I wish I had said, if only I had taken that opportunity. And then that opened their heart. I'm just simply saying, help me trust that you have brought this opportunity and that you have prepared them as well as me. Preparing them is his job, not yours. Leave it to him. Open a door, open my mouth, open their heart. I think most, if not all of you, know that my wife's a travel agent. She has spent a lot, and I mean a lot of hours, through this time of pandemic doing a lot of work, but it was taking care of her clients canceling travel. As cruise lines have canceled cruises, business clients have canceled meetings, that has meant sitting at a computer and talking on the phone and sitting on hold. Anybody had to do that? I'm amazed you weren't on hold for a couple of hours there waiting for that. She was on hold for hours on end, flights, hotels, cars, cruises, meeting venues, even canceling, unfortunately, honeymoons and vacations. And in the midst of all the frustrations of canceling and rescheduling and arranging refunds and moving funds, just last week, after finally getting a real person, ever been there? Almost didn't know how to act. After finally getting a real person, she was on the phone for over 2 hours fixing some travel for her clients, but was also given the opportunity to share with the lady there at the other end of the line, a lady she'd never met, will probably never meet, but who needed a word from God and a listening heart. The lady handled all Barbie's travel needs just as she needed it. And then throughout their conversation, little at a time, God opened a door of opportunity. And Barbie seized it. She listened. She shared. And this lady had a chance to unload a burden she desperately needed to lay down. Divorced. Lost her home. Lost her car. Left with a son to raise. And due to the travel ban, the whole company had been demoted, had to move in with her mother, and sharing all of this little by little with someone she believed cared while tending to Barbie's needs. Didn't you know who this person was? This lady is carrying a burden most people could care less about. I love that video we started with. Why didn't I care? Barbie could have said, I don't have time for this. I've got a dozen other clients whose travel I need to fix today. Let's just get on with this. But she didn't. And here's the remarkable work of God in that. When the conversation ended, Barbie's clients' needs were fixed, and they were both praising the Lord for all the good things he was doing. Really? You just heard the list of what she was going through, but she was able to say at the end of the conversation that now she's able to work from home, which meant she could be with her son, which she had never been able to do before. She was working from home. She was living with her mom, who was now aging, which was a real blessing to both of them to help each other out in this difficult time. And she was buying her own car. Sharing is such an essential part of our Christian journey. And I know that it is also a difficult thing for many to do. So in closing, let's look at three thoughts about sharing as Christians. If you will keep these three things in mind, I think will help you refocus your thinking about what sharing means. First of all, we need to keep in mind that sharing is a lifestyle, not an occasional activity. We all know what it looks like to nervously go up to a workmate or a family member or a golfing buddy and invite them just to come to church or to some church social or a special church program. That's hard enough. Sweaty palms, the loss of words, false confidence, the fear of saying exactly the wrong thing at exactly the wrong time. But I think much of our paralyzing nervousness, the tongue-tying that we see, comes from the way we live such a segmented life and fragmented lives. By that I mean this. We have our Christian life. We have our family life. We have our work life. We have our social life. And the list goes on. And never shall they meet. We live them in such a way that it makes them seem like separate lives. We don't take work home. We don't talk about church or religion with other people. We do everything we can to keep them separate. And we've done it for so long that now, for many people, they are separate. And that's a problem, because in the Christian life, your life is not divided into segments. Our Christian life is meant to be Christian and lived out loud no matter what. No matter where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, you're a Christian. It is a part of your work life, your school life, your social life, your church life, your family life. Sharing is a lifestyle, not an occasional activity. Acts chapter 2 gives us a glimpse of the way the church lived in the beginning, and the results of living that kind of lifestyle, what they bring. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I should think so. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that fellowship? Secondly, keep in mind that sharing is more about actions than it is about words. I'm sure most of you have heard hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons, have read enough Christian books to fill a library, and attended many conferences and conventions in your lifetime. But I dare say you could probably count on one hand the number of them that have radically changed your life. Oh, you can point to a book or a message or a song out of thousands that really impacted you. When it comes to sharing the gospel with other people, the smallest action will be worth 1,000 sermons. You've heard all the cliches. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Actions speak louder than words. People want to know how much you care before they care to hear about how much you know. And listen, if you are a person who is generally not good with words, and that's speaking about a lot of people, you ought to take heart, because the way you live your life makes sharing your Christian faith speak volumes to others. In his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." He did not say, "Let your light shine before others so they will follow you to church or go to all the church programs or to tune your radio to the church or Christian music station." No, just let them see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Third, keep in mind, involving or sharing involves relationships. To be sure, you don't have to know somebody in order to witness to them. The overwhelming majority of those who went to see Billy Graham preach did not know him, nor did he know them. And yet God used him to present the gospel to millions. But let's face it, most of us don't have access to thousands of people in stadiums all across the world. Most of us don't have enough satellite time or money to purchase it or the equipment to run it that would enable us to speak to millions of people all at the same time. So I'm afraid we're just going to have to rely on the good old-fashioned get to know people. John records Jesus saying, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Loving each other involves a relationship. To love people, you got to know them. And you have to develop relationships. I just want to add one thing here. It's good. It is so sweet to have Christian friends. Christian friends soon become family. And MCC, you know that very well. But if the only friends, I mean the only real friends, not acquaintances, but actual real friends you have are Christians, then you aren't going to share all these things we've been talking about today very effectively. What we have in God's family is so incredible. And that's why I think Jesus said, "Go into all the world." Go into all the world. Go out. Make friends. Develop relationships. Share your Christian journey with others no matter what. And I hope you understand that's a process. First, you accept what God has done for you. It doesn't mean anything to anybody if you haven't accepted it yourself. And then it means sharing what He has done for you with others. By living your Christian journey. And sometimes, use your words. Tell people what God has done. What's our takeaway from all this? Share what you have been given and share who you are with whomever, no matter what. Father God, we thank you this morning that you loved us and wanted a relationship with us like you had when you created us in the very beginning, and yet our sin got in the way. So you provided a way. That way was Jesus. And what he has done for us is so remarkable, so undeserved, yet so remarkable. And if we have fully grasped that, it ought to sing to our hearts every day, and we ought to want to sing it and shout it from the mountaintops to all those around and let our world know about Jesus. To share our testimony. You don't have to stand on a soapbox and preach. Just share our testimony of how God has seen us through things. And as people are going through things and they just somehow want to open up to us, as the lady did on the phone with Barbie, they don't know each other. But they felt like she could share with Barbie, and she did. maybe folks feel like they can share with us. And when they do, Father, help us to realize you just opened the door. And as we listen, help us then to open our mouth and say, I know. I know. Because God has seen me through this too. And then, Father, help us to rely on you to prepare their hearts. That's not our job. We just share what you've done for us. People can believe it or not. They can want it or not. That's up to them. But if you have touched us, we're going to share it. So, Father, as we leave this morning, let us pray for those opportunities to share. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.